On Wednesday nights, we've been looking at this of growing up in our Lord and dealing with the subject of assurance. And something that we're going to take a look at tonight is a misunderstanding by many in the world and over the centuries and millennia about believers, those that are saved, and them sinning. You know, where there are those that believe that, and we have some near to us, some near to the membership of our church, that in their families and acquaintance and such, that believe that when you're saved, you don't sin. And that's not true. That's not true. And what happens is, just like any other misunderstanding in the Scripture, is not taking all of the Scripture and putting it together and having understanding about the way it is for the one that is saved. We've spent a lot of time in the last year and a half, at different times, speaking about the old man and the new man that we are, that we have with us as those that are saved. Our old man, we got that naturally. When you were born, or you're conceived within your mother and came into this world, the old man was at hand. Then when we're saved, we have the Spirit of God living within. We have, as the Scripture calls, the new man. And so we have that as the children of God. And we need to have a right understanding about what happens. What should we do, and how is it with the child of God when they sin? What happens if I, as a child of God, sin? Here in 1 John chapter 1, we focus in on these verses, and a wonderful book. It gives us understanding about this. Verse number 8, again, context. You know, Brother John's writing. Of course, it's the inspiration of the Lord that is moving him and driving him to write these things. And he's writing them to who? The saved. Okay, we need to understand that. This book is written to the saved. And he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So can a child of God sin? Indeed, we can sin. You know, again, knowledge about the Scriptures. When the apostles, when the apostles fled from Christ in Gethsemane, did they sin against their Lord? They did. Okay, well, maybe that one's not so plain. When Peter cursed and denied the Lord Jesus, did he sin against his Lord? Yes. When he told the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pick on Peter because it's written about him, when he said, "No, no, no, Lord, far be it from you to die." And the Lord Jesus said, "Get thee behind me." Did he sin against his Lord? Indeed he did. And he's an apostle. So, you know, this thinking and this false doctrine of those that are saved and not sin, it just stems from a lack of knowledge and understanding and assembling of the facts contained in the Scripture. Indeed, it is possible for a child of God to sin. Paul writes to us about that state that we're in, old man, new man. The old man does yet sin, but the new man does not, as this book tells us. Does the Lord want his children to sin? Okay, well, let's look in chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, verse number 1, that ye sin not. So, of course, the Lord, our Father's desire, our Savior's desire, is that none of us sin. But he knows that we will. Well, okay, well then, if it's just that way, let's give up and don't worry about it. I mean, the grace of God is going to take care of all that. Doesn't Paul deal with that in the book of Romans? What's the answer? God forbid. You and I are, as the children of God, are to try, and to do everything we can to not sin. He says, he writes that we sin not. And so, does our Lord want us to sin? No, by no means. If a child of God sins, what's the one thing we are to do about it? Verse number 9 of the previous chapter, chapter 1. If, and notice that in verse number 8, if Okay, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful, our Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when I sin against my Lord, the Holy Spirit of God is there telling me, right? You know, if the Spirit of God is not there speaking to us and telling us when we do sin and giving us knowledge about what sin is, we need to introspect. But for the child of God that is walking with his Lord and desiring to be like Christ and wanting the Lord to work in him, the Lord tells, that's wrong. That's wrong. You've heard many that have told, without even any teaching, that when they were saved, they knew by the Spirit of God living within them that some of the vice that they had been involved with just should not be. I mean, it's that way. The Spirit of God even works in a basic sort in that way. It just should not be. If we do sin, we're to confess it. Repent of it before our God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not the job of the pastor. We don't practice confessional as the universalists do. I can't help you with your sins as far as forgiving you, absolving you, making it okay that you can go commit them. Okay, as the universalists do. That's a lie that they sell. We're to confess our sins to our Lord, and he's faithful and just to forgive us, he says. When we do sin, what's going on? Well, back in 1 John chapter 2, take a look here in verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, man, woman, boy, or girl that's saved, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know, my righteousness can't help my sins. But you know what? The righteousness of Christ can. And think about that as you and I, as we would be tempted to be willful in our sin. Lord, help us. We're tempted. We're tempted to be willful, to know good and well we shouldn't go after a thing, to know good and well that we shouldn't do a thing. And we are not to be willful. Our Lord will deal with that. So Scripture speaks to us about that in Hebrews. But when I do sin against my Lord, and I confess my sin before him, they're talking about me in heaven. Amen? They're talking about you in heaven. What's the advocate do? Father, I died for him. I died for him. He's mine. I saved him. He's mine. Forgive him. Forgive him for my sake. How much do we want our Lord talking about us in glory about our failure? May the Lord help us to be mindful of that as we go through life and walk. I tell you what, we've got to wrestle before us indeed. As we consider this, what happens when we sin against our Lord as the children of God? Well, what is it that happens? What is it that happens? 1 John chapter 1, verse number 6. If we say we have fellowship with him, with our Lord, with God Almighty, our Father and our Savior, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, verse 7, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. When you and I do sin, what happens? What's affected? Well, our fellowship with our Lord is affected. And we need to know that. We need to realize that. We need to value our fellowship with our Lord. And you know what? When we get sinful and wayward are tempted and give in to the temptation to sin against our Lord, and so many ways we're tempted, you know what? It'll affect the fellowship between me and you, between brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we need to take and put sin out of our lives, always confessing. I've said it because the Lord's helped me to understand it for years. A life that has begun by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a life that will continue in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you trust the Lord today to help you? Indeed you did. I pray that you did. We trust Him. We trust Him to make good on His promises not yet fulfilled. Don't we trust Him? Don't we rest in Him today? You know what? Has your faith grown? It should. His faith should grow. And you know what? I sinned against my Lord today. I need to repent of it before Him. I'm to repent of it. We're to repent of it indeed. So what happens if we sin? Our Lord has made provision for that. In light of this, as those that believe in sinless perfection, and that there's a cut of those that hold, there's a cut of those that hang on and say that they've never sinned, it's sad, and but we joke about it all at the same time. We say, well, you just did because you lied. But then there are those that come and go in and out of salvation so many times. They sin. Oh, I've lost my salvation. Somebody's in a car crash and a terrible thing. And just before impact, they cursed. What if they cursed? Oh, well, they're damned and they're going to hell, you know, or took the Lord's name in vain or, you know, whatever. Had a bad thought. You know, whatever it is, you know, we've all heard that kind of reasoning. Well, the Bible declares plainly the eternal security of the believer, the saved. It is that way. Let's take a look quickly. And these are passages that we need to know. Certainly, those who are infants in the faith need to know this. You need to know this for yourself and believe what the Lord says that He has done for us. In John chapter 10, verse number 28. We'll be jumping around here in the book of John. Many things are said along this line. John chapter 10, verse number 28. Our Lord says about His sheep, they hear His voice, He knows them, they follow Him. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Any. That includes you. I've got friends that I grew up with say, well, yeah, no one else can, but you can. No, you can't. Why in the world would you even want to? It's pressing a point to the disgrace of God. If He says eternal, or what's the word that is used here? Eternal life. If it's eternal, there's a battery in this microphone that I'm using. And if it would be possible for you to go and purchase an eternal battery, what would be our expectation regarding that battery? Brother Mark will never have to reconcile another charge to the account or another check, or no invoice will ever be written again as long as he's treasurer, or any brother that's treasurer until the Lord comes back, for us to buy another battery for this PA system, right? Eternal means eternal. It's simple for us to understand it about that. I use that on the fellows at the jail. If I could provide you an eternal battery for your vehicle, you would know full well that you could pass it on to your great-great-grandchildren, don't you? We understand that. They say, yeah, that's right. Yeah, because it's true. We understand what eternal means then. That's not going to be with the way that, but if it would be, we understand it about that. Why can't we understand it about the life that our Lord gives? Well, I'm not accusing you, but I'm just saying mankind in general, because there's doubt of the Lord. It says here, I give unto them eternal life. What's it say? And they shall never perish, neither any shall any pluck them out of my hand. So he says we'll never perish. It's eternal life that he gives. Verse number 29. My Father, which gave them me. I tell you what, boy, there's some security in there. People rail and folks rail upon predestination and election, and they don't understand the depravity of man and why it was necessary for the Lord to do so that any would be saved. But praise be to God that the Father set His love on a people that He gave unto Christ, and it's settled. Now, it's accomplished in time, and you and I don't know who is, but you know, we find out because they believe, they receive the gospel of Christ. My Father, which gave them me, Jesus says, is greater than all, and no, man is in italics there because the translators of the King James translation added that for clarity. But no, none, nada, no one can, what's it say, is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Tell you what, you can go to sleep and rest on that, can't you? Indeed, we can. And so no one is able to remove us from our Lord's hand. In chapter 6, we come over here. Can we ever lose our salvation? If you're a child of God, been saved by the Lord, the answer is no, we cannot be lost. In John chapter 6, verse number 37, our Lord says here, all that the Father giveth me shall come, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. There's not this going back and forth, saved, lost, saved, unsaved, saved, unsaved. It's not so. Either a person is saved or they're not saved. That's all that there is. Those two states. And once a person is saved by our Lord, they are saved eternally. In verse number 39 of this chapter, verse number 39, and this is the Father's will which has sent me. And understand that the Son was sent by the Father for a purpose. And again, it's ignorance of the Scripture. It's a lack of enlightenment by the Holy Spirit of God, of course. But there are those that look on this thing of salvation and what the world generally views as religion is just this haphazard kind of thing, kind of like the way they look at evolution. But God's had a plan from before there was time. And the Father sent the Son, and the Son came in time. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. He won't lose it, but should raise it up again at the last day. He will give eternal life completely. Now, you and I have eternal life now as children of God. Have the Holy Spirit of God living within our souls. But you know what? This old body isn't going to live forever. Praise God. This old body needs to die, so it can be taken out of the way, get it out of the way. That's what this old body of death, the Scripture refers to. It's what needs to happen to it. But in the meantime, that's in the Lord's hands. In the meantime, this old body can be used to glorify our Lord. And then one day our salvation will be complete. When we see Jesus, our salvation will be not only spiritual, but our salvation will be physical. Right now, there's that sense of the salvation of our lives. We've got a life yet to live from the time that the Lord saved us. And you know, we can ask this question, will your life be saved? We've got examples of those in the Scriptures whose lives weren't very saved. Their souls were saved, but their lives were a disgrace to their Savior. And may our Lord help us that we desire him and hear him and obey him, that our lives, the time that we have left, be used for him. It's the responsibility of our Lord to keep us. He's kept us. He saved us, rather. And he will keep us. It's not our responsibility to keep ourselves. Christ can lose nothing, and he will keep his own. John chapter 5, we take a look over here at verse 24. The kind of life we've taken a look at is eternal. What's it say here in 5:24? Verse number 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That's taken care of by Christ, but is passed from death unto life. Our Lord Jesus here is telling about how he's the judge and it's been ordained of the Father. And he tells in this verse about how it works in salvation, that those believers in him, present tense, have everlasting life. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. You know, I believe that Jesus was sent, don't you? I believe that the Father, God Almighty, sent the Son. And see why it's important. God's one God. Okay, yes, when you're talking about Jesus, you're talking about the Father, you're talking about the Father, you're talking about the Holy Spirit, when you're talking about God, you're talking about our Lord, when you're talking about Jehovah God, it's all the same. His work is great. Our understanding, we, as a brother said, we grapple to wrap our minds around all that God is. And that's okay. It's good to do that with where we're at. One day, it'll even be made more clear and we'll have more to go. But the Father sent the Son. And you know what the Father sent the Son to do? Become a man for our sakes. And you know what he did? He did become a man for our sakes, that he might accomplish salvation for us. He says here, he gives everlasting life. What's that mean? It's everlasting. Romans chapter 8, let's take a look over here. What can separate us? Okay, you know, the Lord saving us. Has the Lord saved us without loving us? Has the Lord saved sinners, saved his children without loving us? Indeed, he has loved us with an everlasting love. Our brother writes here in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, I pray familiar passages to you. They need to be, if not. Our brother writes, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I tell you what, the one that, as in that example that you've heard posed, that one that was in that wreck and they committed some sin just before impact and they were killed, they got separated from the love of God, didn't they? If that's so, if because of that one sin they're condemned to hell, if they were saved, they're saved. If they're saved, they're saved. And of course, there's a misunderstanding of how it's taken by those who do not understand that. And the Apostle Paul dealt with it too, it's just a license to sin. No, it's not. Again, God forbid. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ, not even the child of God's own wickedness. Let's talk about some examples. Now, I tell you what, this is nothing to lean on. But the Lord's given it to us in the Scriptures. What do you think about Samson? Would you tell your child to follow the way and the life of Samson? Nope. We wouldn't. We would not recommend anybody follow the fornicator, one that didn't want to listen to his parents, one that didn't heed the call of God upon him. Yeah, we're told about him in the Scriptures, and you know, that didn't thwart the Lord from using him, but he didn't have the blessing that he could have had from the Lord. There is that sense that Samson's life was lost, but his soul was saved. He's in the honor roll of faith. Because at the end, he had faith in the Lord. Seemingly at the beginning, he had faith in the Lord, but he let it go to his head in between. Who else? Brother David. Brother David. Brother David broke the last five commandments. Boom, 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 boom. You think Brother David's lost? David's saved. Was he guilty? Yeah, the Lord dealt with him as a child. It cost him and it cost the nation because he's king. And understand this, that Brother David and his sin and his willfulness against the Lord, yielding to that temptation and not being about the things that he should have been about, well led his son, I believe, to disobey in the first five commandments. Think about that. Think about that, Brother Solomon. Were they lost? No, they were saved. They were saved. Who else do we have? We got Solomon. We got Samson. We got Brother David. David committed murder on a lie. We got Brother Lot. And again, Brother Lot, none of us would even dare say that he would be saved. Incestuous with his own daughter. Sad. brought a thing that's been a thorn in the sides of Israel since that day with Moab and Edom and their descendants. But the scripture says he was saved. Nothing can separate those that have faith in the Lord or saved by the Lord. Nothing can separate them from the love of God. But I tell you what, life can be lost, can be a shambles. We've heard it said, well, just couldn't be saved if those things were done. Maybe you've said, I just couldn't be saved. And, you know, for one to know if they're saved or not, it's between you and the Lord. You got to figure it out. It's between you and the Lord. You and your soul and your heart before Him. But see, our salvation is not based on our performance. Our keeping saved, if you will, is not based on our performance. Fruit does show salvation indeed. But you and I are saved by our Lord and what He has done for us. And it does yield fruit. And there is a manner of fruit inspection indeed. But let us know that if we're saved by the Lord, nothing can separate us from His love for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's take a look over here. How is it that we're kept? Do you have a sheer will, grit, and determination to keep your salvation? Listen to what Brother Peter writes here in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. Let's back up and get the whole sentence. He writes long sentences. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us, born us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because He lives, we live. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Promises, promises, promises beyond anything that you can imagine. Verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's that salvation, getting that new body like Christ. Where's the power? The power by which we are kept is in our Lord, who are kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. It's His power that keeps us. Brother Jude has got something to say about it in the end of his epistle. In verse number 24, we see in Jude, verse number 24, as he wraps up and gives his closing words, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. You know, isn't it a wonder? Isn't it a wonder that our Lord Jesus would be joyful to bring us to Him and in His presence, in the presence of the Father, with a smile on His face? Isn't that something? I tell you, we've got a wonderful Savior. We've got a wonderful Savior indeed. Takes us, has taken us and put His righteousness upon us. And from the standpoint of our sin and how it stood against us in regards to eternity, has washed us white as snow. And is able by justification to take and bring us and made us to the Father and present us to the Father to just as if we've never sinned. And not do it with a scowl or a frown on His face, but do it willingly and joyfully. May we rejoice in our Lord indeed. He's able to keep us. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. I tell you, brothers and sisters, we need to be praying. We need to be praying. We need to petition our Lord that He would work in us and help us. Tell you what, prayer is that which closes the circle. We got the power of God who has saved us and known us. And we have the Spirit of God living within. And we need to go to our Lord to help us in this frailty of this flesh and this old man. And the by the Word of God, we see our shortfalling and our inability and our weakness. We need to go to our Lord in prayer, asking Him to help us. And the Scripture tells us as much, because we've got a wonderful Lord. In Philippians, and He's pleased with that. You know, He's worshiped as we pray unto Him in the shortcoming that we have. He is worshiped in that. Philippians chapter 1, we see this very interesting. Let's back up and get the full sentence. He says in verse number 3 in Philippians chapter 1, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, speaking of those in Philippi. We touched on them Sunday afternoon up there in Achaia and Macedonia, up there north of the Aegean Sea. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. He says, I'm thrilled that the Lord has saved you. And I'm thankful for you, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You believed. Being confident, verse 6, this is our target verse, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's got to say, we've got some things in Romans that we go to very quickly that we tell about what the Lord is doing. And this is just another way of our brother saying it. The Lord will bring his own unto him. Now, I'm of the opinion you can go the high road or you can go the low road. But I tell you what, if you're saved, you're going. How about we go glorifying our Lord? Amen. How about we go hearing him and believing him and trusting him and what he has given us? I tell you what. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We will be there with our Lord. In Ephesians chapter 1, we've got some things that we're told here. In Ephesians chapter 1, this is great. In verse number 3, as he greets this church at Ephesus, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1, 3, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I'm sorry, I missed the, that's a good verse too. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's how the elect are known, they believe. In whom also, after ye believed, listen to the order, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, I didn't make the order. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, you heard the gospel of your salvation, and that's spelled out in 1 Corinthians 15, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And the thing is, you remember how the Lord Jesus, he says, you sin against me, you blaspheme my name, you can be forgiven. You blaspheme the name of the Father, you can be forgiven. You blaspheme the Holy Spirit, those that do so have never forgiveness. That's what Jesus said. Now, if somebody's saved, they're saved by virtue of the Spirit of God living within. Now, to take a position that one who is saved can lose that, kind of railing against the Holy Spirit of God, huh? And of course, many that say so, I don't believe by their doctrine and by their things that they pursue and that are even saved at all. But understand there, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. The earnest. It's like the earnest money. It's the earnest for the purchase possession. He's given us his Spirit. Well, what more can the Lord give us than his own Spirit within us? He's given himself to live within us. Can we lose our salvation? No way. Ephesians chapter 2, very familiar. It says here in verse number 8, for by grace, the favor of God, are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God. Jesus is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not saved by what we've done. We're saved by the Savior. We're saved by the gift of God unto mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And faith in him is not a work indeed. Faith is faith. Not works of righteousness, which we have done, have we been saved, but by our Lord Jesus and what he has done. Our Lord has given a gift and salvation. dare we say that God would take such a gift back if he's given the gift? God's not that way, is he? No, not at all. Not at all. Verse number 9, it says here, We've not done anything to earn salvation, not of works, lest any man should boast or brag. We've not done anything to gain salvation. Can we do anything to lose it or to keep it? No, our Lord has done these things for us. Praise be to his name. In chapter 2 here of Ephesians also, we come earlier in the chapter and consider this. Before we were saved, we were in the control of another. And you hath he quickened, it says in chapter 2, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, the world system. What made sense to this old flesh? According to the prince and the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, he's still at work. Among whom also we all had our conversation, thinking, speaking, and doing. That's what that word conversation is talking about. In times past, in the lust, the desire of this old body, this old flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and what you and I could think up and what we sucked up from this world. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Our Lord saved us from those things. We were enemies of Christ. Hasn't the relationship changed? Sure has. The relationship has changed. We were saved from a terrible state. Brother Jim, I'm just young and tender and haven't got into a whole bunch of mess. I tell you what, you're capable of everything that there is and more. Because wickedness and depravity abounds within us naturally. So we see here the distance of the relationship before salvation. Let's go over here to 1 John chapter 3. Let's take a look at another thing that it says here regarding our previous state before the Lord saved us. In 1 John chapter 3, what's it say here? In this, 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You know, one of the things that tells and shows and is a telling of the salvation of the soul is a love for those others that have been saved. But haters of their brethren, despisers of those that are saved, well tells that they are a child of the devil. And only the Lord knows those things. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, but a child of the devil. You know, that's the way it was before for us before we were saved. But now we see and understand that our relationship is different. Look here at 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Here's what we have in salvation. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And also in Romans chapter 8, the telling of this new relationship, that this relationship, how the relationship changed by virtue of salvation. Romans chapter 8, verse number 15, for you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I tell you, I like that. The child of God says, Daddy. That's what that word Abba means, that name, Abba. Father, Father. I'm not an enemy anymore. The one that saved is not an enemy anymore. So you're telling me that so great salvation that causes us not to be an enemy with God, when we sin, we go back to being an enemy of God and a child of the devil again? Child of the devil, child of God. Child of the devil, child of God. Child of the devil. Well, I mean, to nobody that's got to someone that doesn't have any sense. That doesn't make sense. Is the Lord's relationship with his children in such a state of flux, back and forth every day? No. It's unreasonable. It would not be. And so we see, even in regards to the relationship or change in our relationship, salvation is eternal and secure in our Lord. We're saved. Once a person is saved, they're saved eternally. Listen to this. Trying to just make a statement regarding this. The unsaved have only the flesh and the sins that go with it. That's what the unsaved have. We're talking about eternal things and an eternal balance, eternal weighing. They have the flesh and the sin that goes with it. Jesus died in the flesh to pay for the sins of his people. Sins that were committed by his children in the flesh, they're paid for by our Lord. Yet they have the new man, the Spirit of God living within. The unsaved have only the flesh and their sins. The saved man has the new man and the sins committed in that old that flesh paid for by Jesus. Do you come back and forth between that? But I understand if you're here and you're not saved, that's what you've got. You've got your body, you've got your soul, and you've got your sins. That's it. That's all you've got. Taking this thing through time and coming out of time and coming into eternity, that's all you've got. Your sins and your flesh and your soul. But the one that's saved has got Christ. Having washed the sins away, having been given a spirit of life, and having been given a whole boatload of promises that can't even comprehend what our Lord has done. We understand in this new relationship with our Lord, when we're saved, that our Lord loves us. And we'll just take and touch on something over here in the book of Hebrews. He loves us and he will chasten us. The Lord, in general, speaking in the scriptures, the Lord stores up wrath against condemned sinners. Brother Ron spoke at one time when he was here with us about the Lord's will of complacency. He will deal with things, and he's angry with the wicked every day. But the wicked just go on pursuing their wickedness with no leadership of the Lord. Really, the only thing that the Lord does with the wicked is restrain them. The wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath thou wilt restrain. But those who are saved, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. He will provide for us, but you know what? As his child, he will discipline us too, won't he? Verse number 6 of Hebrews 12, may the Lord help us to remember it well. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. You know that word scourge means whip. That's not a spanking. That's not a spanking. That's a thrashing. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you will, receiveth to himself. Our Lord chastens us indeed. Do you know the chastening of the Lord, child of God? We've talked about that some time ago. It ranges all the way from that still small voice into death in this life. It's a full, can be the full range. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 about those that got sick, those that got weak, and those in the church that got dead because their Lord dealt with them. That still small voice of the Lord within us, Jim, that's wicked. You need to stay away from that. That's wrong. That's sinful. That's dishonoring to me. You know, that's another way to look at it. Is what you and I do, think, look at, listen to, Is it honoring to our Lord? Would our Lord join in with us in pursuing those things? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Is Jesus here with me in this? That's a good gauge. Because the Lord chastens His own. We sing that song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Assurance. Assurance of salvation for the children of God and that relationship that we have. A salvation that's eternal and everlasting because it's based on what the Lord has done. And our salvation is resting in Him. We believe and trust in Him that He will do these things, has done these things, and will do these things for us.